Hello, sex fans. Welcome back. Today is Monday, March 12th, 2012, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge.
Who's that boy over there, in the gray?
Why, I'm your host, ma'am. That savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick. The brilliant erotic photographer with a pedigree, Stan Keatley, returns to the Erotic Mind series today. He and I had such a good time together last week that I simply had to have more of him this week. And we pick up exactly where we left off last Monday.
Yeah, silent, but deadly attractive.
That's true. Stan is adorable. But wait, you didn't miss part one of our conversation, did you? Well, not to worry if you did, because you can find it and all of my shows in the podcast archive on drdicksexadvice.com. All you got to do is use the site's search function in the header, type in podcast number 323, and voila! But don't forget to use the pound sign when you do your search.
My name's Darla. Don't let me drink too much because I get really flirty.
That's good to know. For more of Stan, be sure to visit his blog, keatleyart.blogspot.com, and from there you'll be able to link to shop.keatleyart.com, which features both his and his father's brilliant work. You'll also find Stan on Facebook, and you can follow him on Twitter too. These links are also included in today's podcast posting. Today's program is once again brought to you by Dr. Dick's How To Video Library. You know, even though I get tons of email from folks looking for my advice, I can only respond to a limited number of inquiries at any given time. But that doesn't mean that I don't care about everyone who writes in. I do. That's why I've set up the How To Video Library. You'll find a link to this great resource right there on the front page of drdicksexadvice.com. Look for the Video Library tab in the header.
I was promised sex. Everybody said it. You'll be a bridesmaid, you'll get sex, you'll be fighting them off. But not so much as a tongue in sight.
That is regrettable. The Video Library is the go-to place for all of you who have sexual performance questions. You'll be able to watch all kinds of deliciously entertaining, delightfully enriching, and oh-so-informative videos right from the comfort of your own home. How sweet is that? Okay, on with the show. Welcome, Stan, and thank you for coming back to DrDickSexAdvice.com for this part two of our conversation for the Erotic Mind podcast. I had such a good time with you last week. You're so charming and delightful. I'm glad you had more time for us today. I want to pick up precisely where we left off last week. We were talking about your blog when we finished our conversation, and I was telling you how much I enjoyed your video posts. So I want to pick up and ask you, where do you find your models? Last week you told us that you're really connected to the burlesque scene in Brighton. Any place else where you find models?
Well, lots of contacts I've made on Facebook as well.
No kidding.
Yeah. I mean, there's people all over the world, and as I've got one or two of my photos up on Facebook, or at least I had quite a few. I'm starting to rearrange it now. They see my pictures and get chatting with some of them. I've met some up in London to go and do just shoots with them just there on that day, and it's great. I mean, the only thing I regret is that I know so many out there and so many that are all around the world. There's just no way in this lifetime I could go out and see all of them and all around the world and shoot with them. It's good. I'm spoiled for choice.
So is there a secret to approaching your models, or do you just come right out and say, "Hey, baby, I've got a camera here, and I want to have you take your clothes off"?
Well, I don't like that I don't like the idea of being seedy and underhand.
Oh, good.
And,
yes,
and,
I thought not.
You know, you just can't. It's not the done thing, isn't it? It's not right. And
it would undercut your whole, you know, concept of why you're doing this to begin with. I mean, that was the gist of our conversation last week, and you know, so I mean, you'd have to have some care.
Absolutely, it's not one of those things that you can just spring on someone out of the blue.
Right.
But at the same time, you do need to be honest with people.
Yes.
So, you know, it's mostly if I see someone I really want to do a shoot with, then I'll chat with them about my art, depending how well I know them.
Right.
You know, if I don't know them at all, then you know, I would have to find some way for someone to introduce me before I could start talking to them.
Right.
And if they're interested in my art, then I'll ask them about maybe sitting for me and talk some ideas through.
Uh-huh.
And it basically goes from there, really. You work up your ideas, and half the ideas come from the model, half the ideas come from me. So,
right. Interesting.
Some shoots that I've done where I've thought, you know, I imagined, I'll talk to this person and I'll work in doing something, you know, maybe wearing a basque and stockings and suspenders and, you know, some form of clothing. And the next thing, they've turned around and said they wanted to do a completely nude shoot. And they've never been in front of a camera with anyone ever before.
No
kidding. And twice that's happened to me, and that's...
Well, that's great testament to you. Would you not agree? I mean, somebody that feels so comfortable and at ease with you and has a rapport and has, you know, simpatico with you, I mean, that goes a long, long way, I would guess.
Well, yeah, I've never thought of it like that before, but yes, I suppose so. It's they must have some confidence in me as a person and as a photographer. Yeah,
right.
So yeah, that's well,
yeah,
that's a bit of a revelation for me. No, but you're right. It's yeah, I feel quite honoured. Go on.
I was going to ask you about the distinction between erotic art and pornography. A lot of people have very different takes on this, and I want you to weigh in on it as well. Both erotic art and pornography depict the body, sensuality, sexuality, even lovemaking, but there is a fundamental difference, at least from my point of view, between the two forms of expression. What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, I've been thinking about this for a while now. I've been asking other people what they think of this, and funnily enough, I was sitting next to someone on the train yesterday, and I ended up chatting to her, and I asked her as well, and she had her opinion about it too.
No kidding.
It's a really sticky question. I can't.
Absolutely.
It's okay. So yeah, I kind of see it. First of all, I thought this was like, you've got porn on the one side, which is, it could be defined by someone or, you know, one or more people performing a human sexual act,
uh-huh,
regardless of its value regarding titillation.
Right.
And on the other side, you've got eroticism, which is an exercise in trying to turn you on one way or another. It's something that's erotic is designed to get the blood pumping, you know.
Pull you in, kind of thing.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Something that makes you engage on a mental level,
right,
and
right,
gets
good,
your
good,
mind
good
behind it, and gets your, you know, your mental sex organ going, as it were.
Uh-huh.
And the two. See, I've concluded now that you can have porn which is erotic, and also porn which is not erotic.
Right.
And also you can have erotic work which is pornographic, but there's erotic work which is not pornographic at all.
Yes.
So I don't know if you can really, I think the underlying question to all of this is porn or is the erotic a form of art?
Interesting.
I think if you can answer the question as to whether or not porn is art or erotic is art, then you'll be able to get somewhere working out the difference between these two. I think that's what it is. I think it's trying to find out the artistic value of porn and the artistic value of the erotic.
Right.
But I don't think you can really ask if porn and erotic... I don't think you can classify it like that. I think
right.
you have to do it on, you know, a case by case. And if you find certain porn erotic, then, you know, you can say, in my opinion, I'd say that's erotic.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it would definitely be porn because, in my eyes, it's something which is a picture of a human performing a sexual act.
Right.
You see what I mean?
I do.
So,
is it safe to assume that your work, that you consider your work to be on the erotic end of the spectrum as opposed to the pornographic? Or do they cross?
Well, no, I wasn't entirely certain my stuff was all that erotic, because I've seen some erotic work.
Yes.
And it's really like, wow, really erotic, and some of it's borderline pornographic, you know. And there's some, I'm not saying that that's a bad thing, there's
no,
some fantastic work out
yeah.
there. But I didn't think mine was all that erotic. But then the more I think about it, the more I think that the work that's erotic is in your own mind. It's that
yes.
point in your brain
yes.
where you say, that turns me on. That's something which I,
yes.
you know, I quite fancy the look of that. So I think that's, I would say my stuff is more erotic because the way I classify porn as being something of someone performing a sexual act.
Right.
And I don't think in my photos anyone actually is.
Yeah. Well, the interesting thing is that, and this is what I'd like to ask you next, since you have this historical perspective, your dad was involved in this art form as well, and back in the 1960s, things were not as, you know, sexually liberated as they are now, and so it must have been, you know, he must have been running against the grain of, you know, the social mores a whole lot more than you are. Would you not agree?
Well, I think that's difficult to know without having experienced the 60s, because
right.
I believe in some ways there was more, the attitudes were definitely different,
mm-hmm.
and there was less, you had to classify something, a photograph of a nude woman or a nude anything as art,
uh-huh.
otherwise it wasn't going to be socially acceptable.
Exactly that.
But people were definitely, they're no different really to when they are, you know, these days really, because you see the amount of girls that my father has accumulated photographs of. You can see when he started off when he was, you know, 16, 17 years old.
No kidding.
And he's clearly found some young girl, or rather some young woman from the local street, and he's up in our bedroom taking a photograph of her. Well, taking many photographs of her. And these are normal people. He starts
yes.
off photographing with just regular people who
wow.
he chats to,
mm-hmm.
and then he moves on later to professional models.
Mm-hmm.
But it just goes to show that yes, the attitudes in general seemingly had a more stricter front to them, but
mm-hmm.
There were still people out there who were willing to make this art and really interested in the medium.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah, I think things are just different these days. There's more accessibility to seeing images like this.
Wow.
And to a certain degree, people have been acclimatized to it, and in some cases, I suppose, desensitized, which is a bit of a pity. There's in some ways, there's not so much mystery and magic about
these things. I was going to say that too. You know, I mean, there is such a proliferation of erotic and pornographic images. I mean, that's all you have to do is open your browser, you know, and it's there, and it's like right in your face. And I mean, and so much of it is not inviting us to actually think about it. It's
sure,
there to
sure.
You know, get the blood pumping, and that's why when I'm doing this series called The Erotic Mind, I'm
mm-hmm.
really interested in, you know, people who have a different take on, you know, this than just getting out there and, you know, getting your audience a boner. I mean, it's, you
right.
know, I'll bet that, you know, women really like your work too.
Well, yeah, I haven't had too much feedback. I mean, I know a lot of women who have liked my work, but I haven't had much feedback from very many many men.
No kidding.
So actually, it's interesting that you should say that. I canvassing opinion in the wrong places to a certain degree, mm-hmm. but yeah, a lot of women will comment on my pictures. But I think, see, on the other side of it, it's in the wrong place. It's in Facebook. So a lot of women will say, "I like that picture. I think that's really fantastic." Yeah. And they'll tell me what they think they like about the picture. Uh-huh. But I think a lot of men on Facebook will look at that and go, "I better not say anything because my wife will see that I've made a comment on a picture." But, so, I mean, that's an observation that didn't. I was thinking that there's lots of women saying they like my pictures, but not very many men. And my wife turned around and said, "Well, that's because of what I just mentioned." So
that's fascinating.
Yeah. So yes, a lot of women do appreciate it, and I think maybe a lot of men do, but certainly in different ways.
Well, it'd be very curious. I hope people in our audience today, will respond to you either on Facebook or on your website or something, and let you know what they think, because it's art. It really is art, and it would be a shame if men are hesitating to respond to your work because they fear that perhaps the women in their life would not take kindly to it. Well, that just indicates to me that people are not being very discriminatory. They're seeing images and they're lumping them all together. Oh, that's just porn. And I know that's a hot button issue for a lot of people, particularly women. So, that would be just really disappointing to learn that.
Sure. Well, I think that the stuff that you see, if you try and show your work, I've been trying to deal with this. If you try and show your work on the internet, if you type anything like nude art, naked art, or anything like that, then all you're going to get is porn, because 90% of the internet is porn.
Yes.
So it's very difficult to show that work as apart from porn when you're swimming in the middle of it. So that's why the other day I took down quite a lot of my work off of the internet, and I'm reconsidering how I'm going to place it. So there will be more going back up, but it's tricky. It's the way attitudes have been formed by the internet, and
it's a double-edged sword for sure.
Oh, absolutely. It can make it very difficult.
Right. So you talked a little bit about shooting with your father's camera and the difficulty of shooting with film. Is that your only medium, or are you shooting digitally as well?
Oh, I started off digitally.
I see.
I got a digital camera quite a while back, and I've been shooting with that. And it's, like I say, it's a really good tool to learn. If anyone wants to learn photography, get yourself a cheap SLR and just get stuck in, because there's no with the film, you have to pay for the film, you have to get it processed, and it's much more difficult doing post-production stuff unless you've got your own darkroom, and then there's a whole nother story. You've got to produce your own prints and whatnot, and it is really easy to shoot with digital. So I have started on a digital, but I bought the best digital I could with the money, which isn't the best digital money can buy.
Yes.
And I've since found that I use my dad's, it's mine, rolly cord, and the rolly cord camera is just outstanding. I could not believe it. I thought I was very pleased with my digital camera, and I thought this is a very good camera. And then I took a picture or two on my rolly cord, and the image that comes out on that, the quality is just outstanding. I can get all nerdy and boring about that, but the two cameras, the film camera is just outstanding. So I'm going to be concentrating on, now that I've got the basics that I've learned through using the digital camera, I'm going to be using the medium format wet film rolly cord. And also I'm going to be shooting with Polaroid camera.
No kidding, how interesting.
Yeah, I've had a few ideas, and I'm going to I'm going to use Polaroid. I'm going to combine the three, actually. I'll have digital, I'll have medium format, and I'll have Polaroid.
Interesting.
And it's going to be quite good fun, because you just never know really what you're going to get. It's not like a sure shot with a digital camera. You can take 4,000 or 5,000 photos or more in a single session,
right.
And one or two of those are going to be gems. Going back to my father's stuff, there's like out of 1,000 or so pictures, one or two of them are not very good, and the rest of them are just
interesting.
It's completely the other way around. So yes. I have to master this to give myself some respect. I think I have to master this this wet film camera photography.
So do you look to work with a particular body type?
No, not at all. What I mostly look for is a particular mind type, really. A particular type of person who enjoys the creative process, and I suppose someone who's got the qualities of being brave, someone who's intelligent, up for a bit of adventure. I mean, I don't shoot people who are under 18 years of age. I just don't think someone who's that age is quite settled enough within themselves to know exactly who they are.
Yeah, to consent to even such a thing. So good,
Yeah. It's not the kind of whenever you put someone in front of the camera, you, in my mind, you want them to be relaxed. If they're not relaxed, then whoever's viewing the image later is going to pick up on that.
Yeah.
There's what do they say? 60% of communication is not verbal, and you see people's body language, mm-hmm. and you look at them and you think that person is uncomfortable or that person is cold. And in some cases, that's what the model is actually saying.
Yeah.
In my shoots, in the middle of March, paddling in the ocean. I don't go for any particular body type. All the girls that I've shot so far, I think one of them has done a lot of modeling for a lot of photographers before, and all of my models are outstanding models. They've all turned out, you know, I couldn't have asked for any better if I'd gone out looking for professional models. But I don't look for a professional model. I don't look for a certain body type, someone who is specifically built in one way or another.
Right.
I just see people, and when I know people, I know their characters, and I, to a certain degree, I can see their characters coming out in their mannerisms, and then I have ideas based around that, or I have ideas that I know will suit this, that, and the other person. So that's what I really look for, and I don't go for specifically a body type.
Are there topics that you gravitate toward and topics that you avoid?
Well, I looking at my pictures, I seem to be gravitating towards expressions of strong, empowered women in their knickers. it just seems to have turned out that way, you know. I think it's partly because I've got a conditioned eye for that format,
uh-huh.
and I enjoy the subject. There's so many aspects to explore there, and there's so many ways. You have someone who is who doesn't have many clothes on, if anything at all, yet they are still showing such strong.
It's so true.
Confidence
it
in themselves.
It is so true about your work. And absolutely, it comes through. You know, loud and clear. So good for
good,
you.
Good. That's
because a lot of the photography, particularly men shooting women, I find that the women are their personhood seems to be missing. They've got all the parts there, but you know,
right,
they're gone.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, you see a lot of that in you know, dare I say it, the mainline media. They have a lot of those same kind of images, and I think it lets the girls down a lot.
Yeah, cause I do too. I think so too.
It doesn't, as you say, it doesn't display their qualities as a person. It doesn't show their personality.
Yeah.
And in a lot of ways, it's all about the expression of the photographer rather than the expression of the model.
No kidding.
And
that's so true.
That's the way I see that.
What do you look for in the erotic art of others?
I like seeing stuff that, again, something that tells a story, something that leads, draws you in. I look for a little bit of mystery, sensitivity to the viewer's needs to be want to be involved in the image, and for it to engage with me, or for me to allow it to engage mentally and invest a bit of myself in the image. You know, I want an image that I take away from, and I tell other people about. This is fantastic. I can still see it in my head. It's so good. You have to look at this. You know, not the kind of thing I show to my mum sometimes, but there are images out there that, you know, I like that kind of art. Whether it's erotic or not, you know, it's the kind of art that I see. In some ways, I see that art is, you know, again, it's going back to communication. It's a form of communication. And I think that when you have an idea in your head and you put that into a picture, you've brought something out of your imagination and made it real. Mm-hmm. And then within that, there's a certain amount of questions and answers and communication, and it's saying something. And if you can give that to someone else and they in turn see it and they turn it into in their imagination, and in some ways they would understand what you are trying to say with it, then yeah, that really works for me, especially with the erotic art, because, you know, a lot of the time people are saying stuff that's quite saucy.
Yes. Well, our time is up again this week. I could go on and on. Obviously, you are so charming and delightful. What a wonderful interview. So conversational, so present to us, your audience. Thank you so much for this. Before we go, would you give us your website address and walk us around a bit? And can we actually buy your work somewhere?
Yes. Well, as I said before, my work is going to be up on my website in the very near future. At the moment, we've got Keatley Art. If you just type in keatleyart.com, and you'll see a lot of my father's photographs up there of famous models from the 1960s. And at the moment, there isn't any of my work, but there will be soon. There's plenty of my work you can see around on the internet. If you want, you can find me on Facebook. Just look for Stan Keatley Photography and you'll find me.
We'll have a link for that in today's podcast posting, don't you know?
Fantastic. Okay, and also I've got the weblog as well, which is keatleyart@blogspot.com.
Excellent. And one of my favorite blogs, don't you know? I love it,
Thanks very much. I'm glad someone likes it.
Well, listen, thank you again, Stan, for your generosity with your precious time. It's wonderful. I've learned so much. I know we'll be talking again, and until we do so, we will be visiting you in cyberspace.
Fantastic.
Thanks, kiddo. Be well.
Thanks.
Bye.
You too. Cheers. Bye.
What a marvelous show. Well, that's it for today, sex fans. Tune in next week at this time for another edition of my world-famous Q&A format and more sex advice with an edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library. Listen up, buckaroos. Thanks to this amazing technology, you'll be able to watch your choice of smut from the comfort of your own home. With just a little prompting from you, they're going to come gushing out of your computer like nobody's business.
Oh, I think we both know that's a big lie.
No, it's not. Check it out. You'll find a link to this fabulous sex resource right there on the front page of DrDickSexAdvice.com. Look for the tab that reads Video on Demand. There is no membership fee. This is a pay-per-minute sort of deal. So remember that your pay-per-view minutes allow you to watch whatever content you want for whatever length of time you choose. Pretty gall darn sweet, huh? And look for all of Dr. Dick's podcasts on iTunes. You'll find me in the podcast section, obviously, under Health, subcategory Sexuality, or just search for Dr. Dick's Sex Advice. Don't forget to subscribe and feel free to leave a comment when you do. Until next week, remember, sex is good, and good sex? Why, that's even better. Over and out.